Welcome to Moving Averages, a new financial podcast from Vox Markets. This series will feature expert market analysis, interviews with top traders and commentators, and much more to bring you fresh insights into the world of finance.
On the podcast today, we have technical stock and equities trader Dan Zanger. Dan hit the headlines in the early 2000s after he turned $11,000 of savings into $18 million in under 2 years. Dan also claims to hold the world record for the biggest percentage change for a personal portfolio in a single year. His portfolio increased by 29,000%. He now runs the popular technical stock chart analysis platform called Chart Pattern and the stock market newsletter The Zanger Report. Continue listening to hear the CEO of Vox Markets, Martin Luke, interview Dan Zanger.
For some of our listeners who may not be familiar with your work or who you are, can you give us a little quick breakdown about yourself?
Well, I'm a momentum trader, basically trading highly volatile NASDAQ stocks as a general rule. Occasionally, I dabble in New York Stock Exchange stocks, but mostly relatively new stocks or high flyers, expensive stocks that know how to move fairly fast. It might be a Netflix or a Google, Amazon. Those are some of the leading names, or Nvidia. These are big names traded here in the States, and they just have a tendency to keep moving and moving all the time. So once they become big players, so to speak, you can just track them almost indefinitely. You know, Netflix I've been tracking off and on for probably 8 years. And same with Google and Amazon. Amazon since 2000, 1998, basically. But, they all have patterns, hence the name of my website, chartpattern.com. And, when they create a nice pattern for going higher, I want to jump in and ride the stock. And, all stocks expire after a period of time, and then we like to jump out. So we'd like to call that swing trading, kind of go for the swing. And may last 3 to 4 weeks. It could be 3 months. It just depends on the overall market environment at the time. So right now, the stocks tend to move for longer periods of time and move a little slower. Back in mid-2000, they would move rather rapidly for a shorter period of time. Internet bubble, even shorter period of time, 3 to 4 days, they'd make a $100 move. You just have to ride the wave that is being dealt at the time. So right now it's just kind of a slow journey, shall we say, to the upside.
Indeed. I first discovered you on social media, and I remember reading up about you and saying that you had something like a 29,000% gain over a period in your portfolio. I think we'd all love to see that.
I don't remember the exact number. I think it was 18,000% in an 18-month period of time.
Oh, right. Okay. Wow.
I turned like $10,775 into $18 million in 18 months, and that was an audited account of that by professional auditors, and took my tax returns, my check to the government, and all my trades and all that stuff, and that's what they came up with, so...
So it was 100% verified. It's not something somebody just made up. You've got trade tickets and everything. So that's phenomenal. That must be a world record, I would imagine, isn't it?
That's pretty much what we hear. That it's a world record. No one has come forward with anything greater. And maybe there is somebody that's greater, but they've not come forward or been published. And until that happens, I would assume it's the world record. But
what got you into trading in the first place?
Well, what got me into trading in the first place? It was my mom.
All right.
watching, yeah, she liked to watch the ticker tape on the telly. And I was kind of fascinated by it. So, you know, I didn't know what it was. But every time I would visit with my mom, she was watching the ticker tape on, oh, my God, this had to be late 70s. And this was before the big show CNBC came out. And it was the first ticker tape ever on TV. And anyway, she watched it and I watched it. And so I kind of got hooked. I bought my first stock for $1. And sold it about 2 months later for $3.50. I was hooked.
Oh, wow, I bet, yeah.
On the market. On the market at that point. And I just started tracking stocks. And then I got into this, this book called Daily Graphs. So what you'd buy every Saturday. It had all the stocks in the stock market with all their earnings and all their institutional sponsors. And I would read the earnings reports and all the stocks, and I would look at all the chart patterns, and, you know, it just took quite a few years, actually, to put it all together. You know, my mom passed away in 1990, left me $100,000. I took a seminar from this guy named William O'Neill. He wrote this book, How to Make Money in Stocks. I took a seminar, and, you know, there was no internet back then, and there was no way to really learn about anything, and so I was not prepped for the show, his seminar, and when I got out of the seminar, you know, I didn't know anything that he said. It was all new to me. It was so new I couldn't grasp what he had said or talked about, but he did say, if you do your homework, you'll make more money than you know what to do with, and so I just got to work doing homework, and that's when the new bull market took off when we invaded Kuwait.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I turned the 100,000 into 440,000 in 6 months. Wow. And over the next 6 years, I wound up going broke.
Okay. So,
yeah.
I wasn't expecting that
one. It was a great lesson.
I bet.
Nothing better than going broke to get a good lesson, you know what I mean?
That's an expensive education.
It really is. That's why they call it the University of Wall Street. You know, they're here to take your money, not give you money. So they did a good job of taking my money, and I learned my lesson. I learned not to give it to them anymore. I sold my car and put $11,000 in the market, and I owed the broker $225. So that left me $10,775. And coincidentally, that's just when the internet bubble hit.
All right,
and
okay.
That's when I turned that 10,000 into 18 million in 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
I just got lucky there, you know. Timing was right, and my mentality was right. You know, nothing like going broke to make you tough as nails, you know.
No, I bet. So did you start off as a fundamentalist and then became a technical analyst, or was chart something you always looked at?
I always started with chart patterns. From day one, I always started with chart patterns. There was on this TV show here in L.A. It was just a show in L.A. called KWHY-TV at the end of the market, Pacific time, about 1:30 in the afternoon. This gentleman came on. He had no hair, but his head was very polished. And fingernails all polished. He was so dapper looking, I can remember quite clearly. And he would take a Xerox machine and print out charts, put them on an easel, and show the chart patterns, the parabolic curve, the cup and handle, wedges, flags, pendants, and he would mark up all these charts with these chart patterns and show how the pattern foretold how a stock would make a big move. And I was rather taken by this, and I got the book that he had, and which is called Daily Graphs. They no longer print that anymore. Mm-hmm. But I would start looking for chart patterns, and I really started with just the patterns. And after I found a stock with a good pattern, then I would check out the fundamentals. If it had really strong earnings up 50, 70, 80%. Revenue's up about the same, you know, combined with a good chart pattern, I would, you know, I would start to dabble in those types of stocks. But yeah, but just because it has a great fundamental story or earnings doesn't mean it can't collapse. So that's where the lesson comes in.
Okay, so
that's where
do you have
going broke will change your mind.
Yeah. So do you have a particular style? Or, you know, would you say you are fundamentally a pattern trader then?
I'm a pattern trader, pretty much a pattern trader, but I combine fundamentals with the patterns. But even a stock with great fundamentals will expire. The move will expire at some point. It's just gotten too pricey, or it's run for too long of a period of time. And you know, you just have to be in it while it's on the move up, and out before it turns and rolls over and then heads down, you know?
Yeah.
It's quite important not to hang on to something too long. So it's just got to be in while it's moving up. As soon as it stops moving up, I want to move out of it.
Okay. Do you use any indicators to complement the patterns at all?
I really don't. It's merely price, action, and volume.
Okay.
Volume will typically dry up near the top of the move, and at the beginning of the move, volume will expand and be quite heavy. So it's really just patterns, price action, we call it, and mm-hmm. volume.
Okay.
All those other indicators are lagging tools, and you can find 100 indicators, and they really don't mean anything, in my opinion.
So you must have seen
kind of shocking, but
you must have seen. You must have seen quite an evolution over the years in sort of technical analysis and the power of sort of software and everything. Is there anything that particularly stands out for you?
Well, you know, we have a lot of. You know, when I first got started, there was only one charting program, that was AIQ Systems, and now you have dozens and dozens of software programs, and you know, of course, there's lots of algorithms out there, running stocks, and it just depends on what your style is. More or less, it's all computer. Computers are running the show these days.
Mm-hmm.
I used to see on the ticker tape blocks go by 5,000 shares, 25,000 shares, 50,000 shares, 10,000 shares. And, you know, you could be a tape reader. And now everything is 100 share lots. You know, you can buy 100,000 shares in a day merely by buying 100 shares, you know, each time your trade goes by. You know, there's just no more tape reading. That art is gone. And it's all been replaced by algorithms, just buying 1 and 200 shares at a time. And you can buy, 10,000 shares pretty quickly doing that in a liquid stock. It makes trading far more difficult.
Yeah.
Makes reading the action far more difficult.
So do you, if you see a particular pattern or a setup that you think, okay, you know, this one's ready to move, do you confirm that with sort of looking at maybe the indices, or, you know, do you use a VIX or something like that?
I really don't do that. I figure if, what I might do is if there's a lot of stocks that are down that day and one stock is breaking out, I probably won't buy the stock because the whole market's being dragged down. That stock may eventually just turn and roll over. It's the old saying, buy the dip and sell the rip. So if a stock is ripping while the entire market's tanking, I'll take my $3 and just step to the sideline and wait for a better market.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to be a tape reader, so to speak, even though I just said you don't read the tape. You still got to watch the overall market. I do like to watch and make sure that there are other momentum stocks, moving well. If a stock is breaking out and I want to own that one stock, I do want to make sure that there are other st- stocks in the market that are doing well. So I don't really do, you know, the S&P 500 can be flat or down 5 points. That's really nothing. And then you'll have 20 momentum stocks up $3 to $5 that day. So I find that when the S&P is kind of flat, you'll find a lot of momentum stocks moving very well. I personally like it like that. One, the indexes and indices don't get extended, and your stock can continue to run for quite a while. You know, when the indexes start to get extended, then that's going to take every stock down eventually.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah. You
know, in a market correction or something like that.
So do you have a favorite sort of stock market resource that you use?
Well, you know, the old Daily Graphs book has been replaced now, and it's now called Market Smith, which is the same company, William O'Neill Company, and but they got rid of the printed book version, and now it's all online in a digital format, and it's called Market Smith, that's one word, .com. And I get all my earnings there, and that's really my only source that I use. Then I use AIQ Systems or TC2000 are my charting programs. So I will use TC2000 midweek. On the weekends, I would use AIQ. It's much clearer than visually to me to see the charts with AIQ. It's also the original charting program that you could download 30 years ago and go through the stocks. TC2000 came on, and there have been a few other companies out there, but I still find AIQ to be the best for reading charts. The clarity of the charts, the definition between the bars is unparalleled. Unfortunately, they went bankrupt a number of years ago, and one of the software guys took it over, and now you can only download like 2 or 3 hours after the market closes, where we used to be able to download during the day. So now I run TC2000 during the day, which is real time, all charts real time, and then on weekends I'll use my AIQ to really you know, get a better grip on the charts themselves, shall we say. I find that the clarity of the definition of the bars is a big plus. And so that's why AIQ for me is so powerful.
Do you, so your typical day then, are you looking to have a flat book at the end of the day, or are you just going to buy and hold for, what's your time period?
Well, it just really depends on how the market's doing. If you're, you know, bull market is just starting, let's say we're coming out of a recession, I would be holding stocks for a much longer period of time, maybe 3 months. To me, 3 months is eternity. So, you know, you get into a choppy market that's, you know, the market, let's say the market's run for 9 months or so, and you might get into a choppy market where nothing is really making any progress, and you're just in a trendless market, and there's no trend, and stocks are just chopping up and down. I probably wouldn't even be in the market. Mm-hmm. I might have some REITs, real estate investment trust stocks that are spinning off 10-11% annually. As a safe haven until the market firms up and bases rebuild and then they take off again. Then I would switch out of the REITs and go into my momentum stocks. But I can be, you know, there's been times that Google, when it first came public, ran from $212 on me to $300 in 27 days.
Wow.
So, you know, that was about a month and I was out. And then it did it again. Had a 6 month base, and then it took off and ran for 28 days. So, but you know, there are times like Alibaba just ran for 9 months. It just 45 degree angle just went from like 110 to oh my God, 200, 190. It took 9 months though. It just kept chugging along, never stopped.
So how do you place a stop? You know, how do you place a stop on that? Then do you? I mean, do you look at a pattern, or would you have a sort of a percentage pullback stop, or you know, trailing stop loss?
Yeah, well, you know, for placing stops, you know, I like to use like a 21-day line, 21-day moving average line.
Okay.
Some people use a 20-day. I use that frequently. Some people use a 9 or a 10-day line. I don't ascribe to that. I like a little bit better, you know, that can get you in and out too quick. And if you're going to be buying size, let's say if you buy 100 shares or 1,000 shares of a stock, a 10-day line may be good. You can easily get in and out. But if you're buying 80, 90, 100, 140,000 shares like I normally would on a big moving stock, you can't get back in if the stock snaps back above the 10-day quickly.
You're just going to be whipsawed.
You're going to be so, and you couldn't get out if you had to. You couldn't sell 100,000 shares in time, and then you had to get back in, you couldn't get back in without pushing the stock up. So I use the 21-day, probably is my most frequently used moving average line. If it closes below that, I'll reduce maybe 50% of my position or get out altogether. Certainly if it breaks a rising trend line, let's say 45 degree angle that's been established for 3 or 4 months, if it breaks that line, I would be out as well.
Yeah.
You know, it just really depends what works, how long things have been moving.
So would you say,
you know, it could be a news story that drops the whole market and then the whole market snaps back. So, you know, just a whole basket of items that I employ to keep my head above water, shall we say.
I mean, some people I've worked with, or some people say that certain stocks have a certain personality. Would you agree with that? I mean, does Netflix
behave?
Absolutely.
Every stock has its own unique personality, and I always say you have to get to know the behavior of your stock, its personality, you know, you'll know when your stock is feeling really good and frisky and ready to make a big run. And then you also know when it's getting tired and exhausted and ready to roll over. So you really definitely have to know your stock's personality. Every day you've got to monitor that stock and see how it's reacting. You know, it could get an upgrade. It doesn't move. So it could get a downgrade and the stock doesn't move. You have to know. You know, what's going on and how the stock is responding to news.
So do you have, you know, sort of drilling down here, I mean, when you talk, you mentioned earlier, you're looking at sort of cup and handles or, you know, bullish flags. Would you look into detail, sort of like candlesticks? I mean, would you look at a sort of a bullish engulfing or a bearish engulfing as a signal, or
yes,
is that too detailed?
Yes, I look at bullish engulfings, bearish engulfings, key reversals, doji bars. I don't use candlesticks. I use regular high-low close bars. And I don't use candlesticks, but
That's interesting, because I find candlesticks so much easier to read than bar charts.
Uh-huh.
And it's exactly the same
detail. Well, you can't really draw trend lines effectively with candles. And I just have always been a regular bar reader. And as soon as I looked at candlesticks, I just, you know, the stuff looks like I just couldn't figure it out. So I just stuck with high low close, not open high low close, but I use high low close, and I can draw trend lines very effectively with those, and can't really do that with candlesticks.
Are you taking your your trend line from the bottom of the wick, or
yes,
right, okay,
yeah, from the bottom, usually it's a 45 degree angle, and then after a period of time, it may elevate to maybe a 60 degree, and then you might get into a blow-off top and then go straight up. And then as soon as you get those blow-off tops, you want to be selling into that straight-up move. Boeing just did a straight-up move about 5 months ago, and you had to sell that. But that had a classic parabolic run, three different elevations. And then when it went straight up, you know, you just knew that was time to sell. The stock's been basing ever since, and then broke out on Friday out of a long horizontal channel. And today it was up $12 in addition to last week's $6. So this stock is on the move again. Netflix on the move again. So some of the, you know, a lot of these companies have got big tax breaks here all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
And earnings are, you know, much better than they would normally be. It's keeping the bull market alive. This bull market has been going since 2009. Hard to believe it's 9 years old. It's beyond anything I've ever seen. So really is amazing.
Indeed. So if there was a newbie or a beginner you were looking to mentor, what advice would you initially give him?
Oh, for a mentor? Well, you know, you have to find somebody that's got a great track record, who knows how to convey something very effectively. There are many bright people out there, but they can't really convey things to you effectively. They have difficulty writing, or they have difficulty, you know, they know what they're saying, but they can't communicate to you what they think and what to do. So you have to find somebody who can convey a message very clear and concise, and somebody who's speaking to somebody who's at a certain level. I think that's the most important thing. If you listen to somebody who's always talking, you know, too far out of your league, let's say, it's very hard to move up the ladder, you know, because they don't give you anything to step up on, you know. You have to stair step all the way up to get to the top, and so you need a mentor who's capable of doing that, and I think that's really important. I think that's something that I excel at, is trying to lift all boats with my clientele at chartpattern.com, is, you know, being quite specific and detailed why I see something the way that I see it. And so your mentor has to have very good communication skills, and also quite good skills at reading charts.
Absolutely.
I think, yeah, and there's a lot of people that can, anybody can get you in a stock. It's getting you out at the right time. It's most important. And, you know, you've got to learn how to get out of stocks. You've got to learn that being in cash, 100% cash, can be at times one of the most wonderful things you've ever learned. You know, and that market takes a break and you're on margin or you're on options, you just get totally cleaned out. So you've got to be very, very cautious. You've got to be ahead of the curve. You've got to know these key reversals when an index is topped or has peaked. Let's say like the S&P 500 recently had a blow-off run, and now it's been basing, took a 10% correction, having a difficult time coming out of the 10% correction and making new highs. We're about halfway back, but it's a slow grind, and it'll just take time, I think, until we get back into all-time new highs here. So, but yeah, your mentor has to be, you know, well-rounded and lots of abilities, and
mm-hmm.
You know, I think one of the abilities really has to be able to keep you in cash or keep your position limited so you don't get smoked and go broke. You know, there's nothing worse than going broke, because then you just have no money to come back.
Yeah,
and it's very important that you don't go all in until you've really mastered the market.
And what would you say to...
6 years, 7 years, 8 years before you can really get good at it.
Okay. And what would you say to somebody just starting out? What advice would you... If there's one snippet of advice you could give somebody, what would it be?
Well, I would have to say you've got to do a lot of homework. A lot of homework. You have to do paper trading. You, you know... Write down all your mistakes. If you have a losing trade, write down why you bought the stock, you know, what got you in it, why did you buy it, was it an emotion, was it somebody who told you about it, you know, why you didn't get out. You know, you just cannot, you know, my philosophy is don't believe in your stocks, believe in your stops. So you have to maintain a nice tight stop on your stock, so you don't, you know, don't let a winner become a loser, and don't chase them higher. Anytime you chase a stock higher, keep buying as it goes up. You're constantly raising your, you're raising the area where you're going to go underwater much faster as the stock comes down. So, you know, you buy within your 5% range of, when it breaks out, and you stop your buying when it gets past 5%. Let the stock run. It'll take 3-4 weeks. It could take 4 to 5 months before it fully plays out.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned earlier chartpattern.com. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, that's my website. I do a newsletter for everybody. 3 times a week, Sunday, Monday, and Wednesday night, and I'm highlighting all the fast movers in the market using chart patterns. I mark up the charts with the chart patterns, and I put some text on there about earnings dates that you have to watch out for. I have my 10 golden rules and trading tips, which I've learned over the years, and I put them on my site. They're on my homepage. Anybody can go there and find those, and we have a very active chat room with 350 people in there on a daily basis, trading chat ideas, trading ideas when, you know, what they're buying, what they're selling or selling short. A lot of active people in there, and, you know, it's a good way, especially for people who are at home by themselves, to engage with other people. And we keep it focused on stocks that move, and we don't have any other chatter about things that don't relate to the market, and there's no frills in the chat room. We really get right into the stocks that are moving, and people are talking about what time frames they're using. Some people are using 5-minute time frames, 30-minute time frames, hourly time frames, daily or monthly or weeklies or whatever. And it's a very productive chat room, and that's free for everybody who comes to the chartpattern.com and becomes a member. And a lot of history in there. I have 20 years of newsletters in my archives, and you can see a lot of the stocks that moved during the internet bubble and some of the gigantic gains that they made back then. It was just staggering. So it's quite the informative site, and we keep it focused on the big movers. So if you want a stock that can move $14-$20 in a day, chartpattern.com is the place you want to go.
Fantastic. Well, I'll make sure highly recommend you to our listeners. And listen, Dan, it's been fascinating speaking to you, and I've really enjoyed it, and hope to catch up with you again soon.
Anytime, my pleasure.
Thank you
so much.